Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View from Here. I left New York in 1967. My destination was Chicago. It was my gap year before anyone knew what a gap year was, and it was the beginning of my higher education. I flew into O'Hare, carried my suitcase to the curbside, waiting for a ride to the city. As minutes stretched to an hour, a police officer strolled by, swinging his nightstick, and he stopped. I was small and Irish. He was large and Irish. I was sporting a big fro, bell-bottoms, and beads. The cop was not. We understood each other immediately. He got right up in my face, and he said, "So, young lady, don't you think it's time you moved on?" Now, I began to state my case, and he began to tap his nightstick. I moved on. Chicago smelled like a Vienna red hot. That's a hot dog. Which was pervasive, but not bad, as city smells go. Chicago was a city that thought everything could still run smoothly, that the accepted order was wisdom. The Democratic Convention, the week that changed everything, was still a year away. The police were everywhere and all-powerful. Everything was under control. Now, I had just arrived from a city where the police were nowhere, a city that ran itself, a city that knew that almost nothing was under control. One Sunday morning, I went to the market on Maxwell Street, a fantastic menagerie full of junk and treasure, everything from old kitchen sinks to stolen jewelry. I was dozing in a car by the curb when a dapper guy knocked on the window. I rolled it down. He exposed a forearm full of watches. I'm not kidding you, full of watches. I told him, "I have no money." He said, "How about $5? I said again that I had no money. He said, "How about $2? I said, "Nope, I got nothing." He said, "Well, in that case, I'll see you in church." We both smiled the big smile that you smile when you know that there's nothing more you can do to close that sale. A year later, my cousin bought an Austin Healey Sprite, a bright red two-seater with just enough space behind the seats to throw a duffel bag. It was a beautiful little thing and absolutely crying out for a road trip. He asked me if I wanted to go to the Grand Canyon with him. I said, "Sure." He said, "Great. You know how to drive a stick shift?" I didn't. So I learned, in a day and a half, how to drive a stick. Then we hit the road. It was a great way to travel. The Sprite sat close to the ground. The driver was intimately connected to the road surface, 8 inches below his back pockets. You feel like you're driving a big wheel, one of those little plastic trikes, except you're going 80 miles an hour. With the ragtop down in Kansas spreading out in every direction, we felt like we had been set free from everything and everyone we had ever known. There were no parents and no teachers and no curfews, and gasoline was 30 cents a gallon. The road pointed due west and the big blue sky came right down to the ground. The Grand Canyon itself was almost incidental to the trip, a sidebar. We got there in 2 days. We slept in the car on the road, we slept in the car at the canyon, and when we weren't sleeping in the car, we were driving in the car. We spent 1 day at the Grand Canyon and headed home. Then we had a brainstorm. We could stop in Chicago, pick up the girl with whom I had decided to spend eternity, and head back to New York, the three of us in a car that barely fit two. We took turns in the well behind the seats. 2-hour shifts followed by a jog around the car, driver moving to the passenger side, passenger moving back to the well, and the well dweller took over in the driver's seat. We drank coffee and ate cookies and made each other laugh. Now, I tried to ignore the fact that both my cousin and my girlfriend were physicists. But when the guy who owned the Sprite and the girl who owned my heart started talking quantum mechanics, the ride home got a whole lot longer. But that's how you learn, right? By going from here to there and taking notes along the way.